Hello again, and welcome to another episode of JoeTheWebGuy.net, the podcast. I'm your host, Joe Levi, and this episode of the podcast is recorded, as all the others have been, in my mobile podcasting studio during my commute between home and my day job, being a web developer for a relatively large manufacturing company. That relatively is a relative term, of course. Well, I apologize for the break in the podcast. I had a death in the family and had to attend to those matters, and actually still have some loose ends to tie up there. I'd like to thank everyone who has provided condolences and assistance to the family. They've been much appreciated. This episode of the podcast is being brought to you by JoeTheGreenGuy.com, an environmentally conscious website not for tree huggers. It's a practical approach to living more economically, more sustainably, more efficiently. Go over and take a look. So, those out of the way, let's go ahead and jump into our topic of the day. And what we want to talk about is microformats. Microformats are a concept that kind of grew out of the RDF movement. RDF is kind of synonymous. RDFA, for example, is somewhat synonymous with semantic structural HTML, and you've heard me use those phrases, those concepts many times before on the podcast. So, quick review, what are those? Well, structural HTML is marking up HTML in the form of an outline, the form of a document. You're not concerned at first stab at what the design, the style, the decoration of your particular HTML document is. That's secondary to the content. So you make the content very structural, and then you can decorate that structure. It makes things very easy and very logical for separating out concerns, for cleaning up your markup, making your pages lighter, meaning faster to load, less stuff that has to be transferred down to them from the server to the client. And makes it easier for you to restyle if you need to change styles going forward, change the theme out. You're not changing any of your content because it's all just structural markup. You're just changing the style, the decoration, which in most cases is in an external CSS sheet. So you just literally point to another resource and you should be done. Easier said than done. I know a lot of you are sitting back going, well, yeah, but that's not as easy. That's like redeveloping the whole site. And to an extent it is. But let's get back to microformats and RDF. Structural HTML was basically a way to use ignored attributes of XHTML. And when I say ignored attributes, I mean the browser doesn't know what they are and doesn't know what to do with them. And it doesn't care. In HTML5 JavaScript, we have something called data dash, which is data, the word data, and a hyphen, and some value. Like if we were marking up a person, we might have data dash first name equals and then the attribute value. So now when I'm doing it, I use JavaScript. I can populate all of that data structure. So I can have first name, last name, middle initial, marital status, country of origin, languages spoken, favorite flavor of cheesecake, I don't know, whatever you want. You can grab all of that from the database and load it into this data structure, which isn't presented in the presentational markup. It's just there on the back end, and it's ignored even by downstream browsers because they don't know what it is, they don't know what to do with it, so they ignore it. Well, the data dash basically lets you use HTML5 JavaScript or custom downstream JavaScript to have access to those new attributes, if you will. They're not really new attributes, they're just attributes used in a new way. Kind of neat. Well, with XHTML, you can put in XML type attributes and values. And RDF really tried to do that. So with RDF, RDFA and whatnot, what they would do is specify ways for people to add markup to pre-existing content or new content, and it really was helpful. but it was an awful lot of work. And it wasn't, it was more XML than it was HTML, so it was new ground for a lot of web developers. And because of that, it didn't really take off all that much. Microformats were born. Now, microformats use something really novel and unique. Okay. We all are familiar with classes. And when I say classes, most people think CSS. And yes, CSS can tie into classes and IDs. JavaScript can tie into classes and IDs. Other stuff can tie into classes and IDs. So it's not just CSS that we're talking about. But what we are talking about is taking those same CSS style classes and standardizing them or using new ones. Now, one thing you may not know about classes is you can chain classes. And of course, it follows the traditional cascade. So up-level classes have less priority than down-level classes or the styles associated with them. So if I have class foo and class bar, well, if class bar has rules that override class foo, then it's going to obviously override. But I can do ahref equals quote slash quote to take me to the root. You know, maybe I'm making a home link. Space id equals home space class equals home space logo close quote. So now I've got a home class, and yes, I know that's kind of redundant, and I have a logo class, and they're both, you know, two different classes on one element. You can chain them together like that, something that many people don't know. So go ahead and take use of that. Well, microformats take use of that. What they do is, let's say we're marking up a person. Well, a person has their information in basically a business card. Now in computers, that's called a V card, a virtual business card. And to make things more confusing, the micro format version of a V card is called an H card. Confused yet? Okie dokie. So you mark it up and you just put a wrapper, a div, a span, a whatever, around even a section in HTML5. You put all this stuff, you put this wrapper around all the contact information, and the contact information can be in a paragraph. So your paragraph can be a wrapper. And you just put in a class that says, hey, this is a V-card. And once you have that, that in there, inside of that, now you can add stuff. So let's stick with the paragraph metaphor. Let's say I'm writing a resume and I have an introductory paragraph and I say, hi, my name is Joe Levi, which it is. Well, around Joe Levi, I'm going to put a span. And that span is then going to have another class. That class being, I believe its name. You'll have to check the spec for it, and that's what I always do. Little bit of a tangent here. The V card, H card specification, H card followed V card to make things consistent. They use the same type of naming that are used in the V card. V card was around way back when every single bit counted, every bit of data was important. We were trying to save bits here and there because storage was an issue, especially on mobile devices, which have like 32 gig of storage on your mobile device. You had maybe 2 if you were lucky, and maybe even half a meg at that. So we had to save space, and to save space we abbreviated a lot, so you have to kind of know those abbreviations. I don't know them off the top of my head. I know where to find them. That's a lesson I learned from Albert Einstein, not directly of course, but he said, you know, it's not about what you know, it's about knowing where to find it. And I agree with that concept entirely. So, let's talk a little bit more about that. So, we've said, hello, my name is Joe Levi. And Joe Levi has a span around it. And then that span has a class. That class, basically, is my name. You with me so far? Okay, so we've got a span with a name, and the name of Joe Levi. Well, Joe is my first name, but it's also my nickname. And Levi is my last name. It's also my family name. So instead of using the last name, we put a span around Joe, and we put a span around Levi. Levi, then, is my family name, so we put a class of family name, and I believe it's family-name or surname, one of the two. Again, check the spec. And we put a span around Joe with a class of nickname. Now, my full name is Joseph. Well, I don't want to show that in this context, but I'm still going to put that in there. I'm going to put it before Joe. I'm going to wrap it in a span, and I'm going to put a class on that of first name or whatever the construct is. But I'm also going to tag along with that space hidden. And then I'm going to have a CSS rule that says hidden has display colon none exclamation mark important. That way the data is there on the page, it's not being shown. So it can still be used by whatever it is that's reading that content, it's just not going to be displayed. Okay, so from there then, if I talk about, if you want to contact me, my email address is joe@joelevi.com. I would hyperlink that with a mail to href, but I'd also put in a class of email. Now it knows that's my email address. I may also put in a URL and visit me at my webpage, http://www.joelevi.com. I'm not going to write all that out. It doesn't look good in a paragraph, so I'm just going to put joelevi.com. But I'm going to wrap that in an anchor tag, and I'm going to apply a class of URL. And that class of URL says, hey, this is the URL you want to put into the URL field in that vcard or that hcard. So you keep going down. There's multiple types of addresses. There's postal addresses. There's mailing addresses. There's parcel addresses. There's all kinds of stuff that you can use. Preferred addresses. And you can combine those together. So if I have a mailing address, it's also my preferred address. I can put that in there and mark it up. City, state, country, all that stuff. So now I've got this paragraph that has my introduction and how to contact me written paragraphically. But because I put this extra markup around each one of those and some extra information, like I might not want to say USA because the audience that's reading this is in the USA, but I still want to have that in there so it can carry across to my V card so that I have a fully populated business card that can then be distributed through this V card, through this markup. So I go ahead and do all of that. Now someone who comes to the site, if they have a plugin, and unfortunately right now you do need a browser plugin, it will light up a little micro format's flare, just like it does an RSS flare if there's RSS on the page. Now the micro formats flare looks a little bit different than the RSS flare. It's various shades of green. It looks really nice, and it lights up and tells you what kind of micro formats have been found on that page. In this case, it's going to show an address book card. You click on the little button, and depending on what that plugin does, it's going to present it differently. But basically, it will let you add it to your personal information manager. The one I use lets me automatically add it to my Google contacts list, or I can download it as a .vcard or a .vcf file and then import that manually into whatever PIM that I want. Very nice. I didn't have to type any of that information. In fact, I may not even have seen that information on the page itself. It may just have been kind of hidden and tucked away, but it's there for me to reuse. So that's me as an end user. What about if I am a search engine, and instead of searching for products or for services or for businesses or for other web pages, I want to search for people? Well, if I'm a search engine and I find pages that have this personal markup on it with personal contact information, fabulous, great. I have my own white pages, and that concept could be taken forward to basically, and this is an idea for Facebook, if I have a Facebook page that has contact information, I can then choose what information I want available to my friends and what information I want available to the general public, and I can self-publish all of my contact information to a, I don't know, let's say Google White Pages. Google will then spider Facebook and find all of that contact information and make it available in their search directory. So now if I want up-to-date contact information for these people, I can just go ahead and search Google White Pages. I don't even know if that product exists, and see it. Now, if I search today, I might get one result for you, and if I search tomorrow, I might get another result for you because you updated it. Maybe you got a new phone number, maybe you got a new mailing address, maybe you got, maybe moved, I don't know. But it can have all that information right there, and because it is self-published information, meaning you are publishing your contact information, you can update it whenever you want. You don't have to wait for the next White Pages to come out, be printed, and be delivered to everybody's house to be able to get that information. You also don't have to worry about notifying people of the changes in your information because they already have it. Now, obviously there's some security concerns there and some privacy issues that I didn't address, but we're talking about the concept of what could be done, not how it should be done. So bear that in mind. Now, microformats are more than just business cards. There's other stuff that we'll talk about. In fact, I'm working on the HReview microformat at work right now. So I'm going to dig a little bit more into that and should let you know that in an upcoming episode of the podcast. So if you want to make sure you don't miss that, you'll want to head over to joethewebguy.net, the podcast at joethewebguy.net. And then you will want to click on one of the subscribe buttons so you can subscribe to the podcast. It is free of charge. We are looking for sponsors. I'm thinking about opening up a donation thing so that, you know, I can do kind of like PBS where it's sponsored by viewers like you. That way we don't have to get true and proper sponsors. If you guys like the content, you can donate. And if you don't like the content, you don't. I don't know. Tell me what you think of that. How do you tell me? Send me a tweet at Joe Levi over on Twitter, or send me an email, joe@joelevi.com. For the podcast, joethewebguy.net, I'm Joe Levi.